Spirit, open our hearts. Crack us open that we might receive your Spirit. And may that Spirit transform our lives into your likeness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is early evening in one of the southern provinces of the Philippines, and we have gathered in the heat, heavy darkness to light candles. We light candles for the many who have been sent out, sent to stand in solidarity with the poor and the marginalized, and who have been killed or persecuted for their actions, for their protest, for their unwavering faith in a gospel of liberation and love in the midst of persecution. Years later, I am still lighting candles in the Emmaus Chapel for children across the ages separated from parents, for refugees living under a bridge in our own city. Here in this sanctuary, I light candles for those still bearing the scars of residential schools, for the slow, steady loss of our beloved creation. I light candles for those who have lost their faith or lost their hope. And I'll admit that at times, Matt was talking about the voice of the accuser last week. And I'll admit that at times I am tempted to despair. I am seduced by the words that my tiny candle flames are nothing, that my little words and actions are too small in the darkness. But though these tiny flames seem insignificant, they become our protest against hopelessness, our statement that God's love will overcome division, will overcome hatred and fear. Bishop Barloso, a prophetic leader in the Philippines, in the face of the steady persecution in his land, said this: "Shall we seal our lips, close our eyes to the stark reality of our society, stuff our ears, keep our conscience domesticated, abort our dreams, and dim our vision of God's kingdom on earth? Surely not. Such a posture will be just another death. Death to the best in us. Death to God's life that is in us. Death to love, justice, freedom, and peace." How do we not lose hope of God's life that is in us? I wonder if part of that is in never losing sight of our place in God's story. The story of our faith is one of God's vision of shalom, a vision planted in a garden of interconnected peace and culminating in a renewed creation where the trees bear fruit for healing. But in the midst of that story is the painful in between, that uncomfortable tension we live in, the tension of seeing all around us those beautiful signs of God's kingdom at work, and simultaneously the fractures that try to keep us divided, that seek to obscure God's image, co-opt our imaginations, and dim our hope. Our gospel today is a flashback to just that kind of in-between moment. The scripture itself is caught in between the sending out of the 12 to proclaim, to heal, to reconcile, and their return overflowing with what has been done in Jesus' name. And I think it's a bit of a caution, a reminder of what can happen when we orient our lives not on the living word, but on that seduction of despair or of self-interest or power. The disciples are sent and they return to the source of all. Therefore, their words and their actions are in this context of intimate relationship. And I think in Herod we catch some of this longing. We see that while he caved to the pressure of arresting John, there is something within John's prophetic ministry that draws him, that speaks to the heart of him. And so in our scripture we hear that he longs to listen. He protects him. And we hear that even when his careless promises are made to the young dancer and John's head demanded in return, Herod grieves. But instead of letting his heart be broken open by that grief, he instead falls back on maintaining the kingdoms of power and position. He would rather save face than transform his life for the sake of the kingdom. I think this flashback serves as a bit of a sobering reminder for any of us who may be feeling the weight of political or religious oppression, or perhaps it's material allurement, or perhaps for me it's that temptation to despair. It's a call to unwavering commitment to God's mission. Like the prophets of old, John the Baptist was willing to risk his message and his life for this gospel, and not to succumb to the public and political pressure. To have a share in the ministry and destiny of Jesus means discipleship, and discipleship that will cost us nothing less than everything. And so the question then is put to us. Are we willing? Are we willing in those places of suffering and injustice, in those places of apathy and despair, to stand, to speak, to proclaim this gospel of reconciliation and healing? Are we willing to be transformed by a gospel that will not let us go, but calls us to be transformed again and again by God's story? Are we willing to claim that inheritance that Paul reminds the Ephesians, that we are no longer orphans? We are beloved children of God. And we have a responsibility to care for our brothers and sisters, no matter who they are or what they look like, no matter what or who they might love. This is our call. As you may know, I love Bishop Michael Curry. And so he says this: I am more and more convinced that God came among us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth to show us the way to be reconciled with the God who deeply and passionately loves each and every one of us, and with each other, as children of that one God who created us all. He came to show us how to be the human family of God. God came among us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth to change the world. To change it from the nightmare it often can be into the dream that God intends. He came to change the world. And we have been baptized into the triune God and summoned to be disciples and followers of this Jesus and to participate in God's work. God's mission of changing and transforming this world. We are the Jesus movement now. We, the Abbey Church, we are the Jesus movement now, and we gather every Sunday to remind each other that we carry that story. A story that calls us out to proclaim and to heal, to reconcile, and with God's Spirit, God willing to be a small part of making everything new. We gather here to pray and to sing and to break bread together and to lift up our tiny acts of faithfulness so that they can be captured into God's great love for everything. So let us go. Let us be sent from this place with rekindled imaginations. Let us go out with songs of God's kingdom, of justice and peace on our lips. Let us continue to light our candles and proclaim that another world is not only possible, she is on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing. Let us go to pray, to live, to lift up our voices as we join the prophetic witness of John the Baptist and those saints right beside you and with the company of heaven who walk with us as we walk this journey of justice and peace in the Holy Spirit. Let us go. Amen.